Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Can I get a good morning? Come on now. Good morning. Woo! Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning. Well, that's a little more like it. Wow, man, what can we also just thank God for how he uses our worship team here to lead us into his presence? Can we just say thank you right now? Not really to God, but you know, one of the things we believe here strongly is the church, and this is biblical, for those of you who want to go check me out. The church is the place where we're supposed to use our gifts, primarily. And we believe in that. We believe in the New Testament church. We believe in the Book of Acts church. And church is a place where we get to use those gifts. And it's beautiful. Some of you use your gifts in different ways, and you know, our worship team certainly gets the chance to use their gifts, and we appreciate their hearts. Wow, 2026 is here. So glad that you have joined us today. You know, in just a minute, Pastor Karen is going to come give us a word that is just powerful, and I hope you're already preparing your hearts for that. But before I bring her up here, I want to take just a few minutes with you myself, and I want to start by reminding you, some of you may be here for the first time, some of you joined the church last year, some of you have been with the church from the beginning when we started in 2021. I just want to remind everybody about the vision that God gave Pastor Karen and I when he called us to plant this church. Pursuit Church is a group of people who are doing our best to pursue God and love people. Our vision is based on the Great Commission that you find in Matthew 28, which is to connect to Jesus and then to make a difference in this world. That's our vision. Connect to Jesus, but it's actually not our vision. It's God's vision. Nothing happens unless we connect to Jesus. Nothing. Jesus himself said in the book of John, "I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We believe that. We must connect to Jesus. And then Jesus tells us, go make a difference in the world. That's what it's about. And so every year in January, what we do is we call it Vision Sunday. But what it really is it's a chance to look back on what God has done and a chance to look forward to what he's going to do in our lives and in our church. And by the way, that's very biblical. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. So God does always call us to look forward. But in Deuteronomy 6 and in other places in the Bible, we see that we are to remember all that God has done. You see both, to look forward and to look back. I'd like to just look back just for a moment on 2025, because God has done some amazing things in this church. In his church. By the way, this is his church. Let's just clear that up. It's not my church, not Pastor Karen's church. It's God's church. It's Jesus' church. We just get the privilege of being a part of what he's doing. And God has done some amazing things. It was mentioned earlier, we have a food pantry. Those of you that may be here for the first time today or newer, we do a food pantry on the third Saturday of every month. And last year, 2025, our food pantry fed almost 1,500 people. Can we just thank God for that? That's pretty incredible for this, you know, little small church. God can do great things with small things. Always remember that. In fact, the word says, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small things. You see, we're just a regular group of people who love God, who love people, and we just want to be the hands and feet of Jesus so that we can make a difference in this world. 2025 has been a great year at Pursuit Church. We've seen salvations, baptisms, spiritual growth in so many of y'all. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that. We're also grateful that last year we kicked off our building blocks. You heard it mentioned, and that's our way to get in, to become a member, and also to connect here at Pursuit Church. I encourage you next week, if you're new, if you haven't been here, come on, week one. Next week, you're going to hear from Pastor Karen and I in Building Blocks about a little bit about the history of the church, how we, you know, how God planted that in our spirit, a little bit about our background, and just about the history of Pursuit Church. And you're going to hear more and more in the coming weeks. It's 4 weeks. Be here for all four. It's a great way to get connected here. And it also gives you an opportunity to learn more about what it is to follow Jesus. Yeah, that's going to be in there, because that better be in everything that we do, right? Also, this past year, we were able to finally get our youth program kicked off. Can we just celebrate that? We were able to get our youth program going. We had three absolutely incredible youth nights, and now we have a youth night every Friday. The first Friday of every month. Let me restate that. First Friday of every month. Our next one, February 6th. Well, it's going to be off the chain, as they say. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. In 2025, we also just saw so many friendships formed through our groups, teams, events that we held throughout the year. God has really been moving in this church in this last year, and so many connections have developed from those things. Well, we got more to do. God has more to do. We really need some more space. I mean, the parking's challenging here, and so actually last year we started really to kick off what we're calling our Next Begins Now campaign. That's our building campaign to raise $250,000. So that we can be ready to get into the next space that we believe God has for us. More parking, more, you know, ability to have more people come. That's what we're believing for. And right here in 2026, that's exactly what we're believing God to do. You see, God is progressive. He's always building. Jesus once said, "My Father is always working." That's what Jesus said. My Father is always working. God's always building, multiplying, and moving forward. So we want to be in step with Him. We want to be in step with God as He moves. True followers of Jesus, we need to be willing to go where God is leading. True followers of Jesus always have and always will need to be willing to follow where Jesus is leading. And my friends, believe me, God has great things in store for your life this year. And He has great things in store for the life of this church. We believe that with all of our heart. 2026 is significant for Pursuit Church. It's our fifth year in existence, so we're starting our fifth year, and we truly believe that God is going to take us places that we could never go on our own, first of all. But His word also says more than we could hope or imagine. That's actually what we're believing, because we believe God keeps His word. We believe God is faithful. We believe when God says something, we can take it to the bank. And we're believing for that in this year. The one thing that we need to start with is eyes to see that. Would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we start by thanking You for all that You have done in our lives individually and in this church collectively. God, we thank You for leading and guiding. We thank You for the growth that has occurred in our own lives in this past year and in the life of this church. And God, we're believing for so much more, because You said that You would lead us. You said that You have more. You said, "Knock, and the door shall be open. Ask, and I shall give it to you," as long as we're asking things that are within Your will and Your plans and purposes. And God, that's what we're asking for right now. May we be in Your will. May we be in Your plans and Your purposes all the days of this year and all the days of our life. We love You, Father. We trust You. And we give it all to You now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Yes, can we just thank God right now for what he's going to do? And would you also welcome my beautiful bride, Pastor Karen, who's got a powerful word for us.
Microphone switch out. Good morning. I already said that once, but some of y'all act like y'all didn't hear me. Good morning. Good to see y'all. I'm excited to see everybody. It's a new year, a new everything, right? Yeah. Don't y'all love a new do-over? I love a do-over. I like a new do, too. But a new do-over is amazing, and God gives us that every single day. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. So new year, new morning, new way of walking with the Lord, right? Yeah, I know Pastor Bob prayed for us, but I don't ever like to get up here and speak without praying. So if you'll just indulge me for a minute, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are putting your words in my mouth. I ask you to push me out of the way. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath in my lungs. I give it to you, Lord. And I ask you to push me out of the way, speak through me, and may your word change us all from the inside out. We love you, God. We give you the glory that you deserve, and we honor you today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. I forgot. I got to amend my prayer. And Lord, let the Texans win tomorrow night. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all know the Texans are God's team, right? They could say the Cowboys are America's team. That's fine. But the Texans, that's God's team. Anyway. So if you brought your Bibles with you today, I hope you did. Did you bring your Bibles? Did you bring your paper Bibles? Y'all need to get a paper. If you don't have a paper Bible, you need to have a paper Bible. Because if the world falls apart, the internet goes down, what you going to do? You need a paper Bible. There's just something about those pages, you know? So if you brought it, open it up to Isaiah chapter 43. And Isaiah is kind of in the middle. Psalms is the middle of the Bible. Isaiah is like 2-3 books past that in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to start there. Are y'all there yet? Everybody there yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Wake up. All right, here we go. Isaiah 43, we're going to start in verse 18. This is what it says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, this is the Lord speaking to his people through the prophet Isaiah. And the first thing that God says is that we need to let go of the past and look forward to the future. That's the first thing. And that's still a word for us today, January 11th, 2026. That is still a timely word for us. God is still speaking, and he's telling us that there are some things that we need to leave behind in 2025. Some grudges, regrets, guilt, maybe shame. Maybe even you've got some successes, some wins in your column. You might need to leave that in the past too. We can't be out there like Uncle Rico living in our glory days. Some of y'all don't get that, but that's all right. We're not going to live in the past, y'all. We got to let it go. We got to let that go. Good or bad, we got to let it go. Because the truth is, we all have things that we need to let go of, that we need to stop focusing on so that we can actually see what God is doing in this new year, 2026. Now, hopefully, you've already let go of the stuff you need to release. But it's like Michael said earlier, if you have it, even if you still have it in this minute right now, it's not too late to do that. Take the good, take the bad, and leave it before the altar of the Lord right now. Yeah. Just release it.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You can't receive more if you're still holding on to something else.
Yeah.
Your hand is gripping something else. It's not open to receive more.
Right.
Let's go back to verse 19. Look at what God says immediately after he tells us to let go of the past. God says, I'm already doing something new. I'm already doing something new. Don't you see it? God is telling us that if we keep looking back, that's going to keep us from seeing what's ahead. Think about it. Think about when you're driving the car, right? If you stay looking in your rearview mirror, you're not going to see what's in front of you, right? Because you're too busy looking in the back. And God is saying, focus on what I'm doing now. In other words, look up. Look at me. You know, I hear people say all the time, I just want to hear from God. I just need a word from God. But how many times do you hear people say, I need to see God?
That's good.
Sometimes it's more important to look for God than to try to hear from God. So this year, let's look for God. Let's focus on Him, not so much on what He can do for us. And if you think about it, if you're just asking God for a word or to speak to you, that's still asking Him for something. So in 2026, let's shift and actually look for God. Let's seek His face instead of always seeking His hand. Because you know what? When you're intentionally looking for God, wanting to see Him, a couple of things are going to happen. First, it'll change your perspective of God. And then when you get a new perspective of Him, that'll help build your faith and trust in God. And then when that happens, it will change the trajectory of your life. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to focus on verses 1 through 8. Y'all there yet? This is what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. Y'all think angels are sitting up there, little chubby, fat, cute little things on clouds? No, no. Nuh-uh. This is what they look like. This is what some of them look like. And they were flying around, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Then it says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook like an earthquake, and the temple was filled with smoke. Can you imagine Isaiah sitting there and he's seeing this?
Yeah. Wow.
He's like, woe to me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And after he says that, one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, got it right off the grill, hot. He took it with tongs from the altar, and with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Now, the first thing we read in these verses is that King Uzziah has died. Now, this is significant because King Uzziah was the king of Judah at the time, and he was a strong king. And under his leadership, Judah was prosperous. But now that he had died, there was a lot of political turmoil in the nation. The nation was unsettled, and the people weren't really sure of what was going to happen next. Now, I want to pause and I just want to say this. Death is never the end. In God's creation, death is never the end of the story, y'all.
Yeah.
Think about a seed. When it goes in the ground, it looks like it's gone, right? It actually dies. It breaks apart, comes apart, and it dies. But it forms new life in the death. It forms a plant. See, the fact is, God created every single person here with eternity in mind. He didn't go to all that trouble to knit you together in your mother's womb exactly how you are, with the hair color you have, the characteristics you have, the way you walk, the way you talk. He didn't do all of that for nothing, for it to just end in a dirt nap. No, we were created with eternity in mind. Now, where you spend it, that's up to you. But there is an eternity. So King Uzziah had died and Isaiah was troubled. Again, a lot of political turmoil, but the thing is, it saddened him. It saddened Isaiah because the people actually liked King Uzziah. So what did Isaiah do? What did he do? He went to the temple of the Lord, y'all. Isaiah looked for God And when he did that, he got a new perspective of exactly who God really is. You see, seeing God changed him. Isaiah saw that God was still on the throne despite all the uncertainty around him. We need to remember, when we look for God, it changes our perspective. Now, some of y'all came into 2026 kind of uncertain about the future, maybe even a little afraid, a little hesitant. And some of y'all came up in here excited. You got plans, you got expectations. It doesn't matter how you feel about this new year. One thing is certain. God is still God.
Amen.
That's the truth with a capital T. He's still mighty. He's still in control. God still tells the sun when to get up and when to go down. He still commands the seas. When you're at the beach, the water only comes so far because God says that's enough. God did that. No matter what's going on around us, in our homes, in our families, in our jobs, in this world, God is Lord above it all. Every bit of it. Our circumstances will change. Our feelings will change, but God never changes, y'all. He's always working. He's always moving. No matter what you face, God is still sovereign, and his plans for your life are still good. Romans 8:28 says that God is working everything out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you belong to Jesus, that's something to get excited about. Knowing that God is working on your behalf right now. You know, there are things that we all have in our heart's desires that we all want to see happen, right? And, you know, we can get caught up in worrying and getting frustrated and flustered because it doesn't seem like it's happening. But no. God is still on the throne. He's working things out behind the scenes. We don't even see it. But we still got to keep our eyes on him. We still got to look to him. If you go to the Old Testament, in Daniel 2:21, it tells us that God changes times and seasons. Like Michael said earlier, God is a God of seasons. He sets kings up and he takes them down. God is always working, y'all. And when Isaiah saw this for himself, it changed his perspective. And if you'll look for God like Isaiah did, you'll see who God really is. And that'll change your perspective on everything. And when you get a shift in your perspective of God, that impacts your faith and your trust in him. You see, when we look for God, our faith and trust in him grows. Let me ask you this. Have you ever lost your keys? So what do? You start looking for them, right? Tearing things up, looking for them. Going all through the house, retracing your steps like a wild person, looking for those keys, right? Why are you doing that? Because you have faith that you're going to find them, right? In fact, you probably don't even stop looking until you do find the keys. Well, same thing's true about God. I mean, we don't look for something unless we have faith that we're going to find it, right? So as you search for God fervently with expectation, eventually you'll start to recognize him working in your life, and that will build your faith. And it's because you're starting to see things differently now. You'll start to realize that God is the one making things happen in your life. All those good things, those lucky breaks, you'll figure out that wasn't luck. That was God. That was God. We don't believe in luck around here. I don't roll the dice for nothing. God is in control. He's still in control. You see, what you thought was luck, that was actually God lining up all the pieces of the puzzle, and all you did was pop in with the skills, talents, and creativity that God gave you to put it all together. And when you start to see things that way, you'll begin to understand that God is real, that what his word says about him is true. And that causes your faith to grow stronger, your trust to become unshakable. And you'll find yourself, watch this, you'll find yourself wanting more of God. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells us what the kingdom of God is like, right? In Matthew 13:44, Jesus says that there was this man who found a buried treasure in a field, right? And he saw its value, so he immediately goes back and sells everything he owns so he can buy that entire field. And then in the next verse, Matthew 13:45, Jesus tells us that there's this other guy who was looking for pearls, right? And then when he comes across one that's really valuable, he goes back and sells everything he has so that he can buy that one pearl. When we realize who God is, we become willing to sacrifice everything to be part of his kingdom because we see the value. You start getting serious about living your life for him, putting your faith and trust in God, not what you see going on around you. Isaiah was so impacted by God's majesty and power that it made him rethink his entire life. He realized that he was unworthy of him being in the presence of such a holy, mighty God. And when that happened, the scripture tells us that he immediately confesses his unworthiness, his sinfulness to God. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He wasn't just talking about his words. That verse is speaking to the depths of his heart. Matthew 15:18 tells us that what's in our heart comes out of our mouths. And what's in our heart is the evil that defiles us. And if you think you don't got evil in your heart, yeah, you do. I love you, but yeah, you do. Putting yourself before others, that's not of God. Expecting to be served instead of serving, not of God. I can go on and on. I got time. Texans aren't playing today. The fact is, we all have unclean hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that. It says the human heart is deceitful. And you know, the Hebrew translation of that word deceitful means treacherous, crooked, polluted, unclean. And Isaiah recognized his heart needed to be clean, not just his mouth. He needed to be forgiven. He had things in his heart he needed to be forgiven from. So instead of making excuses, oh, God's got grace, it's all good. He's got grace. Yeah, he's got grace. But we're sinful. And his grace gives us Jesus to forgive us from our sins. And Isaiah confessed his sins and God forgave him. And then watch what happens next. What does God say? What's up, Isaiah? What now? Who can I send? See, God had plans for Isaiah's life, just like he has plans for your life. So after Isaiah confesses his sins, after he confesses his sins and receives forgiveness, then God says, who can I send? Who can I send to do my will? Who can I send to evangelize this world? And Isaiah immediately says, I'll go. Send me. Amen. When you see who God really is, that will change the trajectory of your life. Right. Carlos, if you come. See, Isaiah didn't have a clue what God was going to ask of him. But he was in it. He was down. Let's go. Let's roll. And it's because Isaiah finally saw who God really is, and it wrecked him. When was the last time that you've been wrecked by the majesty and the holiness of God? When was the last time that your own sinfulness actually wrecked you? It happened to me last night. I was praying, Lord, I need you to deliver me from this. And it wrecked me. Just thinking of the goodness of God that me from H-Town, quasi-hood rat still, can go to a holy God and receive forgiveness for all the stuff I think and I do and I say. That's beautiful, y'all. The same thing is for y'all. God will forgive you. Just got to go and confess it. And then when you do that and he forgives you, spend the rest of your life serving him, honoring him, loving him. That's what Isaiah did. Isaiah didn't have a clue what God was going to ask him, but he was going to be in it. And it's because Isaiah finally saw who God really was. He finally saw. And when Isaiah saw the majesty and the holiness of God, he realized his own flaws, his own sinfulness, and that drew him closer to God. See, Isaiah saw the mercy, the grace, the love that God had for him. A God who would literally take away our sins, no questions asked. Just willing to take away our sins. And that turned Isaiah's evil heart into a grateful heart. Isaiah was grateful, and he was so grateful that whatever God was going to ask of him, he was ready to do it. The Bible says that when you seek God with all your heart, you will find him. So I encourage you this year, make 2026 the year that you actually seek God. Seek his face. No more living in the rearview mirror, looking back at the past, living in the past. Instead, start looking forward to God and look for God in everything. That way you can say like Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me, send me." Friends, God's already doing a new thing. He's already making a way in the wilderness. He's already putting streams in the wasteland, providing. That's what that means. He's providing. The question isn't, is God moving? The question is, will you see it and will you move with him? So as we step into this next year, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to seek God's face daily. Open your Bible. Get you a good paper Bible you can understand. Don't get one of those King James hither, wither, thither. Don't nobody talk like that. Get you a Bible you can understand. If it's Spanish, okay, whatever. Open it up. Read it. Pray. Ask God, "Lord, show me who you are." Don't be just asking for his hand. Ask to see his heart. And be intentional about it. At your job, in your family, in the good times, in the hard times, take a step back and ask God, "Where are you in this?" And then watch what he shows you. And then you'll be able to say, "Yes, God. Yes, I'll go," when he calls you. When God nudges you to serve, to give, to forgive, to step out of your comfort zone, let your response be, "Here I am, God. Send me." If you'll do that, and if we all do it as a church family, this is not just going to be a good year. This can be a defining year. A defining year. A year where our faith grows, our trust deepens, and the trajectory of our lives individually and as a church shifts forward towards everything that God has planned for us. God likes to use ordinary people just like you and me to do extraordinary things. And in 2026, this is the year that I believe God is moving through Pursuit Church, and he wants to take us places that we never saw coming. Do you receive it? Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads? Oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. You are truly mighty. You are truly holy. And Lord, I pray that you give us eyes to see who you are. As we go about our daily things, Lord, I pray that you open up our eyes of enlightenment and show us who you are. Show us your hand. And then give us hearts to fall down before your face and realize just who you are. That you're good. That you love us. That your plans for us are good. Lord, I pray that you break through hardened hearts right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you break through those hard walls that some people have put up around their hearts to keep people out, to protect themselves. Lord, I pray you break through that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And you exchange hard hearts for hearts of flesh, for tender hearts that want to please you, that want to follow you, that want to do what you say to do. God, I thank you that you pick us, just regular people. Lord, I pray that everyone's heart cry here will be, "Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do?" Lord, let us all be perfectly willing, not perfect, but perfectly willing to do what you've called us to do in this new year. We love you, Father, and we thank you for Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you'll just stay in this moment, this quiet, holy moment, the Holy Spirit is here. He's been here. We weren't here for 2 weeks. The Lord's still here. So if you'll just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed and just stay in this moment. If you have never given your life to Jesus, if you have never fully surrendered your life to God, now is a great time to do that. The start of a new year can be the start of a new life in Christ. If you feel a tugging on your heart right now, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you into a relationship with God. You see, sin separates us from God. And the bridge that closes the gap is Jesus. So if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, you can do that right now. It's just a simple prayer. It's not even about the prayer. It's the heart behind it. Just a simple prayer. And if believers will pray it with me, they'll just encourage you. If you need to make a decision for Jesus today, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I surrender every part of my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.